We are joined by Larry Nightengast, this time talking about charter schools, specifically a handful of schools that are up for renewal this year. And Larry took some time to find out exactly how the renewal process is going. Larry, thanks for being with us.
Hey, always glad to be here, Tom.
Well, as we mentioned in the intro to this segment, the Charter School Accountability Committee's meeting this week on renewals was pretty uneventful. Historically speaking, is that unusual?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it was unusual. I mean, if you look at the numbers, 20 of the 22 charter schools in Delaware have state charters, which are renewed in most cases every 5 years. So you can logically expect 4 or 5 renewal applications a year. Now, historically, charter schools have an inconsistent record in terms of complying with the terms of their charters, especially on administrative and financial matters. So attention is often directed to these items during the renewal process. Academic performance also varies widely. You've got some charters with great academic records and some that land well on the other end of the scale. So just as with traditional public schools, academic performance strongly correlates with the demographic characteristics of a school's enrollment. More to the point that you're asking about here, you know, we've seen charter schools shut down for multiple reasons, for bad management, bad bookkeeping, bad academics. However, most of the controversies that have led to closings have not occurred or developed during the renewal process. Rather, closures and revocations have tended to be the result of the formal review and probation process, which typically starts during the school year when some sort of complaint is filed or improper activity is uncovered, and this results in schools being given a specified time frame to clean up their operations. You've got to go back 5 years to the case of the Reach Academy for Girls to find a school closure that was actually ordered through the renewal process.
Well, we did note that 4 of the 5 schools seeking renewal this year have had issues in the past, and most notably Odyssey Charter, which is currently in, as you mentioned, that kind of probation and review process. They are on probation. They were put there earlier this year. Where do they stand right now in addressing the issues that they were flagged for in that probation situation?
As far as the Charter School Accountability Committee is concerned, Odyssey appears to be in pretty good shape right now, but that doesn't mean that its problems are over. The board of directors of the school will vote on a required bylaw revision by the end of the month. And there was some debate at the meeting about the phrasing of some of the changes, but the CSAC, the Charter School Accountability Committee, didn't ask for another rewrite. The investigatory audit, which was ordered because of some $93,000 in improper spending, is supposed to be finished in a week or so. And the board has developed procedures to give the school's Citizens Budget Oversight Committee better access to financial documents. Now, the probation letter that was issued in July set a January 1st deadline for completing these items. So in that respect, the things that Odyssey is supposed to have gotten done by now or by the end of this month, they're on track to complete.
So with that said, are there any remaining questions or issues the committee has about Odyssey's situation?
Well, yes, but it's nothing that would hold up the charter renewal. If problems turn up in the audit, for example, the committee could go back and address them any time before next June 30th when the probation expires, as well as the school's current charter. The same goes for the matter of recovering the $93,000 that was spent in violation of charter rules. And the probation letter does say that the school could lose its charter if it isn't in full compliance by June 30th. Now, the bylaw discussion that I mentioned here included several mentions of how the proposed bylaw revisions didn't quite match the language in the probation letter that the Secretary of Education sent out in July. And given those comments, I mean, I would take that as a warning to Odyssey that they ought to be very careful about carrying out the terms of the probation and following as closely as possible the language that Secretary of Education Bunting put out. And if not, they may be at risk of some consequences.
Perhaps a story for another day to keep an eye on. Let's look at some of the other schools that are up for renewal this year. Charter School of Newcastle, previously known as Family Foundations Academy, also had a number of issues in the past. What were those issues, and what have they done to kind of get things straight and get renewed?
5 years ago, this school was pretty much a mess. Disruptive students and poor academics were the least of their problems. Mismanagement was at the top, and two administrators later pleaded guilty to stealing school funds. Now, after the bad managers were replaced, the school began a turnaround. And one of the big steps that was taken was reorganizing the board of directors to include some members of the board of the Eastside Charter School, and then arranging to have a couple of leaders from Eastside take over management roles at Family Foundations, essentially splitting time between both operations. Then, to remove some of the stain associated with the Family Foundation's name, the school rebranded as the Charter School of Newcastle. In April of this year, with the school running pretty well, the partnership agreement with Eastside was dissolved.
And interestingly enough, Eastside Charter also up for renewal. What obstacles does it face, if any?
Based on the hearing on Monday, the biggest issue outstanding with Eastside is a concern over continuity of its leadership. As I mentioned when we talked about Newcastle Charter, there was a period when Eastside's leader was doing double duty, trying to run both schools at the same time. And that arrangement, it appears, worked out better for Newcastle than it did for Eastside. Anyhow, CSAC has raised sort of a yellow caution flag here, and it's asked Eastside's top management, the head of school and the board of directors, to make sure that they've got a plan to train the key current staff members so they're ready to step in or step up if there's a need to fill in for or succeed the current school leader. Eastside leaders did give assurances that they're working on that succession planning now, and in fact, when the head of school was out for a couple of weeks with a medical issue fairly recently, they say that the administrator who did step in as principal for those couple of weeks did do a fine job.
Your piece also notes that Eastside's proximity to the Reach Riverside Revitalization Initiative you've covered for us is also something to keep an eye on. What's going on with that? What's the story there?
You know, there's strong recognition here that community revitalization and continued growth and success of Eastside Charter go hand in hand. The charter school is a partner in the revitalization project, and one of the school's long-term goals is to add 9th through 12th grades. But it's fair to say that there will have to be some obvious signs that the community is turning around before it makes much sense to undertake the investment of a major school expansion in the neighborhood. You know, much of the hope for the Reach Riverside project is premised on its alliance with Purpose-Built Communities, which is a deep-pocketed nonprofit from Atlanta, Georgia, that is providing consulting services to Reach Riverside. Now, Purpose-Built Communities has also supported charter schools in other cities where it has fostered redevelopment. So now, while Eastside Charter's planned expansion may be a couple of years away, it's reassuring to know that it has access to a partner like Purpose-Built Communities that will be in a position to lend it a hand as it moves forward.
How about the other two schools up for renewal this year, Gateway Lab and Las Americas Aspira Academy?
Las Americas Aspira, which is a dual language immersion school providing instruction in Spanish and English to 946 students in kindergarten through eighth grade, will open a high school program in Newark next fall. So a lot of the discussion at Monday's meeting focused on projected enrollments and how students are being recruited. Head of school Margie Lopez-Waite expects to enroll about 100 ninth graders next year. 44 applications had been received by early this week, including 11 from the school's current eighth graders. Now, they're also recruiting through open houses and visits to charter schools whose programming ends at eighth grade. Now, for Gateway, I mean, the discussion there was remarkably brief, lasting only 8 minutes. And much of that was the boilerplate language that CSAC uses to explain the purpose of the meeting, make introductions, and to say what happens next in the process. But one of the points that mentioned is that the school, which now has 177 students in third through eighth grade, plans to eventually add a kindergarten through second grade program, and it's working on a marketing plan so that it knows how best to accomplish that mission, that expansion, and get and attract new students and so on. Now, I should note, Gateway is a place that some people have had difficulty understanding. It's It's got a large population of students with special education needs, more than half of the population. But in many respects, it's more like the Pilot School or the Centerville-Layton School, which are two private schools in the area that focus on serving children with special learning needs. So Gateway is a program that's a little bit more like these private schools than it is the special ed programs in traditional public schools. And that has had a little bit of a bearing on the fluctuations in enrollments and some of the ups and downs that it has had thus far.
So now that the Charter School Accountability Committee's weighed in, what's next in the process for these schools in the renewal process?
Okay, as of now, three more steps to go. First of all, there will be a second round of public hearings Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the Cabinet Room of the Townsend Building, the State Department of Education's home in Dover. Second, public comments on the renewal applications will be accepted by mail or by email through Friday, December 13th. And then finally, Secretary of Education Susan Bunting will deliver her renewal recommendations to the State Board of Education at its meeting on December 19th. Now, the State Board may assent to or reject the Secretary's recommendations, but it cannot alter them in any way.
When we talk about charter schools with you, we usually end up by asking you if, in talking to the people who are involved, is there any overall big picture feeling about the state of charter schools in Delaware right now? Do they feel like they're in a positive place, generally speaking?
Yes, that's pretty much how they feel. You know, we talked a few months ago about this $10 million federal grant that's being spread over 3 years, that's being largely used to support the expansion of charter schools that have demonstrated good track records. Now, two schools that had management and enrollment issues closed last year, and we've had a lull of in applications for new charters. So right now, the state has a total of 22 charter schools operating. Their enrollment totals 16,366 students, which is about 12% of the overall public school population. Pretty consistent with the numbers for the past few years. Now, we are going to see some growth in the next few years for a couple of reasons. As we mentioned, Las Americas Aspira is adding high school grades. Several other schools are only partway through expansions that they're phasing in. A new Montessori charter school is opening next year in Sussex County, and at least one application for a new charter school is expected to be filed before the December 31st deadline. And further down the road, as I mentioned, Eastside might also add a high school component. So, you know, on the whole, it looks like the charter movement is poised for steady growth over the next 4 or 5 years. But, and there's always a but here, it seems that hardly a year goes by that one or more charters doesn't slip, stumble, or fall. So no matter how confident the leaders of the charter school community might be, I feel that I can say with even more confidence that we're going to see more problems with charter school management and academic performance. It might not be this year, but I'm pretty certain it's going to happen again.
All right, Larry Nangas, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome.